Hey, Travis Perry here, Travis's Big Idea Podcast. Today, I want to talk about 10 speculative fiction stories, the top 10 with the most original story settings. Of course, top 10 as set by me, my own criteria for judging it. I'll explain in a minute what those criteria are. But anyway, that's what I want to look at this week. I actually had a conversation about this on Facebook with a number of friends where I gave them an opportunity to give input on what it was that they thought would be the best possible stories. It winds up being more than I can possibly list. First, I was asking for stories of all kinds, but I think what I'm going to do is talk first here in part one about the stories that are secular, you'd say, because I'm a Christian writer and Christian publisher. So I'm going to look next week at stories by overtly Christian authors and what they have to say, what their top 10 is, their best speculative fiction story. So according to my criteria of judging what's the most original and what's the best. Why is it that I'm interested in this concept of most original? What am I trying to say? Most original story worlds. Well, first of all, originality in story world is a major virtue of speculative fiction. It's got going for it. Science fiction, fantasy, and horror, they get to pick the setting that they're in. Whereas if you have a story set in a realistic world, let's say you set your story in Paris, it has to be Paris, or at least convincingly Paris. You can't just make it up and have it be whatever you want it to be. But a speculative fiction story, you can make the story setting be whatever you want. And that story setting actually can, you can make it illustrate points or ideas of things that you think are true that you want to talk about in your story. And story setting isn't necessarily, or story world isn't necessarily just talking about world building. Is a word we use in writing fiction. You have to create your world. You have to make it convincing. I'm also talking about the story scenario. Does it make sense? Is it set up? So an example of a story scenario would be like in the movie Armageddon. It's basically our world, but it's our world with an impending doom asteroid coming in to impact the planet. Plus, you know, NASA has secret stainless steel space shuttles that no one ever knew about. That kind of thing, right? This is the setting, the story world of Armageddon. And Armageddon is not one of my 10 examples here, by the way. But I have 10 stories that I want to talk about. Most original, yeah. I'm looking for ones that not only have these unusual ideas, but the ones that do it best. I think original story worlds often have the most impact on people. A lot of times make the best stories, at least that's my opinion. They're the ones that get people thinking about that story afterwards. Wow, is that really true? Could that really happen? Is that something that could take place? So how did I pick these stories? What did I do? I got to say that when we say stories, what am I talking about? I'm talking about novels or short stories or even novellas, which is somewhere in between. I'm talking about TV. I'm talking about movies, video games. And among these types of media, I opened the door to all of them. Which ones did I pick? Well, I tend to pick ones that I've already read or seen or played before. We call that observer bias, that things I've seen myself matter more. But then when I opened this up on Facebook and asked other people to give their input on what they thought was the best, I actually accepted a couple of stories that I was not familiar with previously. One of them is a story One Piece that's very popular in Japan and other parts of the world, not as common in the United States. And another one is a video game series, Myst, that I'd heard of that I never played. But the rest of these are all things that I'm familiar with myself to some degree or other. Note, though, that as I looked at these stories, I rated them 1 to 5. I try to be kind of objective as much as I could be. The evaluation of what number each thing gets is a little bit subjective, sure. But anyway, I rated everything 1 to 5 on one of four things. The four things are originality, influence on other stories, sales influence, that is, you know, did it get around a lot of people hear about it because it sold well, and then influence on public discourse, by which I mean are people talking about this story or the ideas in the story? Is it influencing people in the world, in my estimation of these things? So the point system winds up giving these stories a rating from 11 points to 17 points of the 10 stories I have. There's some ties in there by nature, but I didn't assign them ties. I said, you know, I have top 10 down to 1, and I kind of arbitrarily picked which ones were best or I liked best when there were ties, just so you know what I'm talking about here, okay? So coming in at number 10 is Ringworld. Ringworld by Larry Niven was written in 1970, had a number of sequels after it, but I'm approaching it as an entire franchise. It's kind of a treat for people who love technology to think about what the future of humanity might be. the main character, Louis Wu, has his 200th birthday. It's humans are almost immortal in this time frame, unless they take the right medicine, a booster spice. There's all kinds of technology like inertialess drives and variable swords, which are like lightsabers, but way cooler. And there's a lot of, and most importantly, the world is a giant ring that is about the same amount of material as planet Earth, but spread around all of Earth's orbit, which means it has billions of times more surface area for the same material. Of course, it would have to be extra strong material, which we don't have the science for today, but imagine that there is such a material and they rotate it. And that's what the ring, the rotation, simulates gravity in a realistic way. So for people who like technical stuff and gadgets and stuff, it's really a great story. And it also has other interesting aspects in the series. Like there's something called a tree of life that if someone's exposed to it, they'll immediately crave it. If they take it, they'll actually become a higher stage of life form of human being. You can call it a pack, or pack protector is what they're called in the story, which is not like glowing luminous being or anything like that. Anyway, it's just a really interesting ideas that he plays with, many small ideas, not any, I would say, huge overarching ideas. The idea of Ringworld is pretty original, but it isn't wholly original. It borrows from the idea of Dyson Spheres. Niven borrows from some of his other previous stories. And there's some other, you know, galactic empire or concepts of aliens that are borrowed from other stories, though he does have good aliens in the story. So I'd give it overall a 4 on originality. I say it had influence on other stories, but the influence was kind of limited. One example of influence is Halo features a ring world type structure that the combat takes place on, but I don't see a whole huge amount of influence. So I give it a 3. It sold well for a science fiction book, so for sales, I'd say it gets a 3, but science fiction books usually aren't top sellers, and it didn't have movie or TV deals. As far as influencing public discourse, how much did it do that? Did people really talk about the ideas in Ringworld? I would say, unless you're a hardcore fan, nah, probably not. So I'd give it a 1 for that. So all things together, you add it all up, you get 11 points total as my 10th ranking. On the downside, if I want to talk about some negative aspects of Ringworld, you know, it's pretty common in science fiction that there's just no mention of God at all. And that is also true in Ringworld. It's like in the far future, human beings just aren't going to need God. I think that's kind of wishful thinking for people that don't believe. I think there's some references to God among aliens, but not among human beings. There's also quite a bit of sexuality, just really the entire philosophy of the book is not Christian, non-Christian, morally negative. Number 9 on my list is Myst. Myst is a video game series that started out in 1993. It was inspired in part by the technology available at the time. The CD-ROM drives were new, and they were using it to upload images. They made a game that was visually immersive. But to do that, you couldn't be moving around too fast. I think the game players were interested in the kind of game they made anyway. They made a game based on puzzles instead of, you know, a lot of action or combat. But they tried to make a very visually interesting world, and then they created a backstory for it afterward that inspired a number of novels. There were a series of games in this series, and the games were very popular, especially the second one, Riven. A lot of people really, really enjoyed these games, and they just did something in the video game realm that wasn't done before. And even though people used to say it was Game of the Future back in the 90s, people haven't really done it since. They have done different kinds of things. There's been some influence, but not that much. So anyway, on my first point on originality, I give it a 5 because it's just not like anything else. When we're talking about the influence in other games, it would have to be a 2. There's some influence, but not a lot. Sales were pretty good at first, but then they dropped after the first and, well, second game. So I would rate it as a 3 in sales. Myst influenced public discourse? Nah, not really. Maybe for people who are diehard fans, but for most people, no. So I'd give it a 1 point there. So 11 points total, tied with Ringworld, but I think it's just a little bit more influential than Ringworld, or more original, I should say. When we talk about downsides of this game, I found out, I didn't know when I was talking about it, it seems that the game makers are themselves Christians, and they make reference to the maker in the game series, but it's kind of vague references. They also have references to magic that could be interpreted multiple ways. I don't really have a problem with anything I heard that's in the game, But bear in mind that I was not myself a player of Myst. I've just studied it and read about it and heard about it. It was one of those things recommended to me from the Facebook group. So number eight is Story of Your Life, which is the short story or the novella that inspired the movie Arrival. The film adaptation is pretty well known, but I want to give the writer Ted Chiang credit for his original 1998 Nebula Award-winning novella, which is, I think, a great thing to do. Shorter stories should get credit for what they achieve. One thing that happens in this movie is you have Dr. Louise Banks, who's studying an alien language. As she studies it, it kind of alters her mind. So because what happens with human beings, normally we speak one word at a time. Therefore, according to this story, our minds are trapped in linear thinking, one thing after the next. But the aliens are capable of speaking an entire sentence at once. Of course, then they speak a whole other entire sentence and then another whole entire sentence, you know, in an order. But anyway, but the story pretends that they think simultaneously because they can do a whole sentence at once. Therefore, since they think simultaneously, they begin to experience reality simultaneously, or they do all the time. But Dr. Banks begins to experience it that way when she starts to be able to understand their language. And when she does that, she accesses her future and past at the same time, but she can't really change her future even though she knows what it is. This really kind of looks at determinism. It looks at individual choices. It looks at the ability, freedom, and human will. It's a very interesting topics said in a very artistic and story-like way. So it's a really kind of cool story, interesting. I give it a 5 for its originality. I don't think its influence on other works was particularly high, so I gave it a 2 there. It was a good seller, I mean, in what it did, but it wasn't a top sales, so I'd say a 3. It had a limited influence on public discourse, even though it really lends one to think about the nature of reality, just because it really was one novella and one movie, so I give it a 3 there. That's 13 points total. If I'm going to talk about a downside of this story, again, I think that the story pretty much doesn't talk about God. Even when Dr. Banks is suffering the loss of a child, that's not something that comes up. And it routinely does come up. I mean, even people who are not Christian, not believers in God, might think about the supernatural or life after death when a young loved one dies. But anyway, it is what it is. It's just not where that show goes. Number 7 is Isaac Asimov's Foundation Trilogy, which was first published in 1951. It was a serial story before that. This story imagines a future world where there's a galactic empire, and the empire is on the verge of collapse. There's a scientist, Harry Seldon, who has invented a new discipline called psychohistory. Psychohistory is able to say exactly when future events are going to happen. It can predict human behavior in massive groups. In fact, the more people are part of the measurement or part of the analysis, the more accurate it is. It can't, in fact, predict the actions of a single individual, but it can whole groups, which says something about individuals that most individuals don't really matter. Now, the story plays with this idea over its series. There are some individuals that do actually seem to change the history of the world. Maybe even Harry Seldon himself. He established the Foundation. The Foundation is designed to lessen the amount of time that the galaxy will be in barbarism after the collapse of the First Empire. It will allow the Second Galactic Empire to rise up more rapidly. That's the goal. Now, this sort of story is influenced by real history, by Edward Gibbon's The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. So, and there's other stories of galactic civilization. So Asimov's story world is not wholly original, but his concept of future history is. I mean, especially when it came out in 1951. So this one radically new idea, otherwise familiar setting, I'll give it a 4 for originality. There are quite a few sci-fi stories that have been influenced by the Foundation Trilogy, including Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy kind of seems to make a reference to it when he talks about the Hitchhiker's Guide itself. It seems to be like the Foundation's encyclopedia. But this has never been adapted for TV or movies, so I'll rate it a 3 for influence on other stories. The series was a sci-fi bestseller for decades and did quite well in that, but never made it to the big film money, so I'll give it a 4 for sales. As far as being something that people talk about, it has influenced real-world people. This is something that has been discussed, like even Elon Musk says that the Foundation series was a influence in his life, and certain social scientists, other scientists, said Foundation helped inspire their thinking about science and science fiction. Though I would say while its influence has been deep, it hasn't been particularly wide. So I give it 3 points for that. That's an overall rating of 14 points, which is pretty good, enough for number 7. By the way, on the downside, yet again, this future civilization has no mention of actual religion or faith in God, as if a civilization just doesn't need that, right? And I don't think that's accurate or true, even fair, but it certainly reflects the perspective of Isaac Asimov, the author of the story, who was an atheist. Number 6 on my list is Jurassic Park. In 1990, Michael Crichton released this book. I think it was intended to be a cautionary tale about the dangers of genetic engineering. I don't know if he necessarily specifically meant to focus on just dinosaurs with his caution, but by using dinosaurs, he meant to say that people could bring back animals that truly are dangerous, that could threaten human lives. Of course, it kind of became a creature feature in film version, you know, where you watch people get munched by dinosaurs, and that's part of the appeal. But the original story was kind of cerebral. Can it be done? Should it be done to make dinosaurs come back to life again, or other extinct creatures, or other forms of genetic modification of animals? I think that Dr. Malcolm, the mathematician in the story, reliably speaks in Michael Crichton's voice and gives the warnings like, this is something you can't do, this is something you can't control, nature finds a way, this kind of thing. Anyway, the idea was very original, even though the story world beyond that idea was basically like normal times, the near future. So for that, I'll give this a 4 for its originality. I think that this did influence a number of other stories on genetic and engineering fronts, but mostly not so much. It mostly influenced itself and created its own massive franchise. So I'll give it a 3 for influence on other stories. As far as its money-making capacity, well, it sure did great there. It was a 5, that's for sure. For influence on public discourse, I think it's because of the focus on dinos eating people. I don't know how many people really talked about the point that Michael Crichton had, that genetic engineering can be dangerous, but I think some people did. So, and it did reach a lot of the public, maybe not a deep touch like with the Foundation series, but wide. So I'd give it 3 points for influence. That winds up being 15 points overall. Potential downsides of the story. It's kind of violent, although the gore is limited. There might be a person or two that calls out God's name as they're being munched by dinosaurs. But overall, it's as irreligious as anything else on this list. Faith is just, you know, erased from mention, as if, you know, nobody with personal faith would ever want to be involved in this kind of profession or even actually matters, you know, because faith is so unusual. Number 5 on this list is One Piece. This is another story that I took by recommendation from others that I wasn't familiar with in advance, and then I researched some. It was first a manga by Japanese artist and illustrator Ichiro Oda. I hope I said that right. One Piece features Monkey D. Luffy, who's a band. It's a funny name, right? No, leader of a band of pirates looking to become the next king of pirates by acquiring a special treasure, one that's called One Piece. So when you mention pirates looking for treasure, my brain immediately goes, I'm bored now, because I just am not interested, usually in pirate stories, maybe sometimes, but a lot of times the settings and the stories are predictable, and I would prefer something a little more imaginative, more off the wall, unusual. Well, good news is that it may seem that this isn't an ordinary story, but from what I've read and what I've heard, it isn't. It's quite off the wall, got quite a few unusual things. Most of the planet is an ocean planet. It's got one thin continent. They describe the weather. They talk about different species living there. There's something called demon fruit. There's a latent ability called haki that winds up creating kind of a unique and powerful magical system. It seems that at first, the series was kind of ordinary, but if they made up something, a creature, instead of forgetting about it and going on to the next episode, they retained that and they built episode by episode a very unique and different story world. And now they're at something like 900 episodes of this thing still going. So based on the word of others and what I've been able to observe online, I would say that One Piece is highly original. It gets 5 points for that. As far as influence on other franchises, I don't know, or other stories, not so much, mostly its own franchise, but its own franchise is enormous. I mean, enormous. We're not so aware of it in the United States, but it's massive in Asia and Japan. It has manga comics, anime films, video games. There's even theme parks for this, quite a lot of influence. So I'll give it a 4 for its influence. As far as sales go, hey, it's gone as far in sales as sales can go, you know, outside of the United States. It's worldwide, and its success is enormous. I'd give it a 5 for that. As far as influence on public discourse, though, on the other hand, the one thing it seems to be lacking, as far as I know, even the people who are fans of it aren't really talking about its big ideas or its influence of its, how its story world makes them think differently about the world that we live in. So for that, I'll give it a 1. That winds up being 15 points total. On the downside, I can't really say anything too much negative. I haven't seen enough to know. I would guess the story probably contains no references to God at all, but in fact, it may have some references. I'm not really sure. It does seem to reference supernatural power. Could it be the reference to supernatural power is in a way that would wind up substituting for faith in God in a way that's bad or dangerous? Maybe. I don't know. I can't say. I really don't know. Most stories do have a downside of some kind, though not all have the same downside. My pick for 4 is the 1997 film Gattaca. Gattaca responds to some of the same advances in genetic engineering that influenced Jurassic Park, but instead of looking at what could be done to animals or creatures that might be dangerous, Gattaca looks at what could happen with human beings being genetically engineered. What will happen if we can modify our genes at will? Will everyone have their genes modified, or will only a certain elite? Will the genes in a person be seen as determining their fate? Something called genetic determinism. Is genetic determinism true? Is it actually true that you are the sum of your genes? This is a question that this asks. It also asks about the power of individual will and freedom versus the will of a society. Of course, the view of this story is mostly that individual will is good, as the protagonist pretends to be a genetically elite person when he actually isn't, when he fakes it. He, by his will, overcomes his bad genes, his bad background. However, the movie does show some sympathy for people wanting to get rid of bad genes, that there's reasons to do that. So among this story that makes the thing that it wants to talk about, its subject, such an integral part of the story world and so interesting, I'll give it a 5 for its originality. As far as influence on other stories, it has had some influence, but mostly influenced stories to create other stories in which there's an elite ruling class rather than so much about genetic engineering. Elysium is an example of a movie that I think was influenced by Gattaca more than likely. So for influence, while it's limited, it's there. I'll give it a 3. As far as sales, the original box office sales of Gattaca were disappointing. It's done well over time. It's retained interest in people. However, I'd give it a sales influence of 2. As far as significance on public discourse, I would say that it did a really good job of getting people to think about the issue of genetic engineering. I think even people who haven't seen Gattaca, if they've just heard about it or are familiar with it and are aware of its content, are going to talk about the influence of this movie and what it's trying to say about genetic engineering. So I'll give it 5 points for that. So this movie rates 15 points overall for me. On the downside, Gattaca does feature some profanity and sexuality. And again, if there's any reference to God in the story, I don't remember it. By the way, the concept of God would be pertinent to the idea of what it means to be human. And if we humans have the right to change ourselves endlessly, granted, not everybody is going to care what God or divine scripture would say about such a thing, but some people would. So it would be a pertinent topic. It's just not one that this movie deals with. My choice for 3 is 1984. 1984 reveals a future dictatorship that is future from the time in which it was originally written, 1948, in which government control is pervasive over everyone. The novel anticipates the technical capacity to spy on people all the time. Usually that happens in the story through something called the telescreen, which is like a television that's also a receiver. That isn't really how television turned out in reality, but what is that way is our cell phones. Cell phones can track us where we are by GPS. NSA and other technicians that have access to our phones can, if they need to, they can turn on audio recording, they can turn on our cameras, they can watch and listen to a lot of what we do. It's kind of spooky, but this is a reality that exists in our world. Though, of course, it's used in 1984 in a different way. Some aspects of 1984 had already been done. In particular, Brave New World by Huxley had predicted many of the same things of domineering state control 17 years previously, though the state had a different style in Huxley's story. It also was inspired by Soviet communism, real-world propaganda, and influence that was happening in the USSR. It can't be considered wholly original. I would give it a 3 for its originality. It's also the case that The story has never been completely imitated, but it has been very influential on many other stories, I would say even on Gattaca. But the influence didn't come from 1984 alone, so I'd give it 4 points for that. I would say the novel also has sold well over the years, but you know, it hasn't sold one piece well, right? Not that well. But 4 points for that. In terms of influence on public discourse, though, this is one thing that 1984 really stands out in doing. People who maybe haven't even read it or have just heard about it talk about the kinds of society that 1984 represents. Big Brother is watching, right? That kind of thing. So I would give it a 5 for its influence. Negatives. Okay. So it's an interesting movie with an interesting book. There was also a movie, but I'm thinking of the book with a protagonist who winds up wandering away from his party. One of the reasons why he wanders away is because he winds up having a love affair, a sexual relationship with a woman, and the party forbids love or joy. So the story implies that love or joy through sexuality is just a natural, normal human thing. And the thing that I would say is it depends on the context, right? There's a context in which it is good in the context of marriage, and there's a context where it's not good. And so I might disagree with what the story is saying there, though I certainly don't think it's good to suppress joy. I think actually having a relationship with God brings joy. It should anyway. But it's a different kind of joy. It's an internal joy. And I think it would be better for the message of this kind of story to say that the state, the government can own my body maybe, but they can't have my mind. However, I have to say that in 1984, the story actually does claim that the state can control your mind. Because at the very end, you know, Winston Smith's realization is that he, more than anything, loved Big Brother. So Big Brother, the state wins. They control his mind. My number 2 pick is 1999's The Matrix and The Matrix franchise, the 3 movies. Really like the first one best, but there's some people that might not think of this movie as original as I think of it as, because it wasn't the first cyberpunk movie or cyberpunk story. 1984, ironically, the date is 1984, of Neuromancer by William Gibson, was really the pioneer of the cyberpunk genre, not The Matrix, not at all. And also, there have been gritty post-apocalyptic worlds or dystopian worlds at the time that is similar to life in Zion that is shown in The Matrix. But however, The Matrix is unique in combining these elements. And it's a slick dystopian world, the nice, cool-looking 1990 sunglasses and dark trench coat dystopian world. And it combines that with the gritty, dirty world of supposed real life. And there's even a bit of superhero story here from Neo when he starts flying around like Superman. And there's messianic aspects of the story as well. There seems at times that he is almost like a Christ figure, Neo is. Some ways he's very much like a Christ figure. Some ways not so much, right? Especially when we're talking about his lack of chastity. Maybe he's not very Christ-like in that regard. But I would overall give this film a 4 for its originality. I would say also that its martial arts and its slick dystopian feel has influenced plenty of other stories, so I'd give it a 4 for that too. The sales of The Matrix, especially the first movie, were good. They leveled off somewhat, so we'll give it a 4 there too. I think that when it comes to philosophical ideas getting people to talk, this is something that Matrix has done, not as much maybe as some other things, not as much as 1984. But the very idea of taking the red pill or the blue pill has entered in common parlance, the way people ordinarily talk. So it's really got into our consciousness. It's really affected the way people think. And it's also affected the debate, the influence of what can be known. So if I want to talk about how much can you trust your senses, you can always refer to the Matrix and say, how do you know for sure you're not in the Matrix? And this is an important question when you want to talk about faith versus science or faith versus reason. There's only so much we can know by reason. At a certain point, we have to accept even our own existence by faith. So I would give this movie a 16 points total, which is pretty good. So got it into my number 2. Downsides, there's a number of things. Sensuality, not open sex, but sensuality in a number of different of the shows, especially a little further on. There's profanity, violence. There's an implication that, you know, Buddhists really can manipulate the world through meditation, which is not something I really agree with, but it's in The Matrix, it's possible. There's also kind of a troubling scene, and I believe it's in the second movie, where Neo meets the architect, who is the master computer program, if you don't know this, who is enslaving the human race. The master computer program is a white male that some people might associate with God of the Bible. I don't think that's a fair association, but some people might think that way. And if that's true, if people associate the architect with God, it's a very negative portrayal of God, a very controlling, unloving, kind of judgmental, hateful God. So I'm not, if that's what's going for, or if people could pick that up from it, I think that's a negative thing. So what's my number one pick? The number one pick is Alice in Wonderland. That might surprise people that I picked something that old. It was first published in 1865. That's part of the reason why it's in this place. It is very influential. It made travel to another world as simple as falling down a rabbit hole. The influence of Alice in Wonderland on portal fantasies, therefore, is tremendous. It has all kinds of strange references that were meant to have zany appeal to children. It's also been, therefore, influential on children's literature, literature that shows animals talking or monsters or other kinds of things. Lewis also apparently did some criticism, some satire of his own time. That's what many people say about it, though I believe this was the first originally written for children that he knew. Lewis Carroll, it's not the real name of the author, but I'm going with it. He also included a number of mathematical puzzles in his tale and certain scenes that appeal to adults. I think the most original concept that Lewis Carroll had was simply passing down a rabbit hole to enter another world, but that was definitely original in the day. And I'll give it 5 points, even though there's influence of previous stories before that too. In terms of influence, I think that Alice in Wonderland influenced Oz, Wizard of Oz, Chronicles of Narnia, and many other stories, pretty much any other portal fantasy story. So I'd give it a 5 for its influence. And it's been a success in sales, had many translations over the world of the years, many film versions. I'll give it a 5 for there too. In fact, I've only seen film versions, various, more than one film version, but I've never actually read the original story. In terms of influence on public discourse, there is sometimes people talk about it. Sometimes in terms of, you know, psychedelic experiences, because there's a few things that Alice takes, a few things she eats and drinks, and it affects her perception. Sometimes it's talked about that way, but it's not usually talked about all that much. So I'd give it 2 points for 17 points overall, the number one in my list. Now, as far as downsides are concerned, it's hard for me to specifically comment about the original story. Since I haven't seen it, I could say that there is no overt mention of God, as in most of these stories, even though Mist does seem to have an indirect reference to the Maker. Okay, so what's the conclusion here? Well, the conclusion is, the list I put together, I kind of expected that there would be a strong correspondence between ideas that people talk about and well-built original story worlds. And there is a correspondence, I would say, but a general one. It isn't true for every one of these stories. I certainly like stories that have strong ideas that make you think, that cause you to walk away from the story thinking about it afterward. But not all stories that have great immersive story worlds are built that way. But as far as this list is concerned, maybe you might feel that I picked the wrong stories. Maybe I should have picked something else. Do you like it? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you disagree with my analysis, my handing out points? Do you have your own list that you'd like to share? If you do, please make a comment below here where the podcast is. And if you like what I did, please click like and follow me if you get a chance. All right. Thank you very much. Bye.